All right, welcome to another episode of the Joe and Doug Show. We're pumped to be over here on the Youngstown Studio channel. You can call in 330-595-1600 and be a part of the show. And this is the spot where Joe and I get to talk about whatever we want.
That's right.
And we get to try and help some people out and take the next steps in their lives. We really believe that there is a best version of you, and we want to help you find it. So today we're going to talk a little bit about self-care, and we're going to get into some health stuff. And I know you love this, but I have a backstory as to why we're going to talk about this. So I bought a book, and I mentioned maybe two podcasts ago, I watched the Down to Earth Netflix series with Zac Efron. Well, Zac has a sidekick on that show, this guy Darren. I think Olin is his last name. And Darren's kind of like a little hippie-ish for me, kind of, but super like healthy. He seems like a nutrition vegan kind of expert, you know, live in the jungle, could, you know, that sort of deal. And nice guy. They have good chemistry between the two. The show's interesting in that way. But they did a show on Blue Zones. Do you know what Blue Zones are?
I don't.
So there are five places on planet Earth that produce the most centenarians, the most people that live over 100 years old. And they're called Blue Zones. And they studied, scientists went there and basically studied these people. What are their genetics? What are they eating? What are they doing? What's the fountain of youth, so to speak? And there's a book, and there's the Blue Zone diet, and there's all this different stuff. Well, Zac and Darren go on this journey to one of the Blue Zones. One is in Sardinia in Italy, and so they go there. They eat some food. They hang out. They meet a bunch of really, really old people. One gentleman, he's like 104, and every day he walks a quarter of a mile three times. He walks from down this big hill from his house to a bar, has a glass of wine, and then walks back, and he does it three times a day. And so, you know, you have these little things that people do, but overall there were these kind of themes that you found, whether it was in Asia or South America or Europe, the overarching themes to lifestyle, health, nutrition, food, etc. And I found it insanely fascinating, and it was the first episode where I really felt like I got to know Darren a little bit, which is kind of Zach's sidekick in this whole thing. And so I went and followed him on Instagram, and I went to his podcast, and I listened to his podcast. So this is where it's going here. And then I bought a book. His book's called Super Life. And I started reading it. I couldn't put it down. It was really, really good. I got about like 40, 50 pages in before I fell asleep. It was late at night. And I've continued picking it up. So he does basically five things that everybody needs. Nobody, this is going to be no shock to you.
Right.
The number one area that you need to work on is nutrition.
Yes.
Number two area is hydration.
Yes.
Number three area is oxygenation.
Okay.
So breathing, he talks about that. And the fourth area is alkalinization.
Right.
So being alkaline instead of acidic. And the fifth area, now that I'm going to totally draw a blank on it, the fifth area is something else. It'll come to me, and I'll say it here in a minute. But anyway, so the book's laid out. I'm just about through the nutrition part. And so that took me to his podcast. So this is how this all works here.
The rabbit holes, yes. We call it.
So you get hungry for certain things.
Oh,
and
yeah,
so you want to explore, sure, and dig. And so in his, the most recent podcast, he had a doctor on from Dr. Pazio, but Pazio or something like that, from Chicago. He has an institute where they treat people in what they call medical engineering, which would totally float your fancy in
for
this.
Sure.
So basically he felt like we treat airplanes, you know, these modern engineering marvels, rockets, all this sort of stuff. They don't just get any fuel. They get very specific fuel. They don't just get any type of maintenance. They get very specific type of maintenance. And if you mess them up, people die. And so how much more so our bodies should be engineered and all this sort of stuff. And so that's why the podcast kind of introed. He talked about his frustration. He's a medical doctor with modern medicine in the sense that, well, you know, if you have heart issues, you go to the cardiologist. If you have endocrine issues, you go to the endocrinologist. If you have, you know, foot issues, you go to the podiatrist. But nobody ever talks to anybody, and we treat symptoms and we don't treat the, yeah, the root. And it was real fascinating. He got into some stuff that was a little nuanced for me. But what he said at the end of the program was like, oh, I can do that. It was really, really good. So book, podcast, show. I'm super interested, and then I'm going to give you some personal background, and then we're going to dive in. Okay,
all right.
This
yes
is a long
I love
setup.
It. No, okay. No, good, good.
So then, at the end of the show, he says, Darren says to Dr. Pazio, he says, "Listen, most of my listeners are never going to come to your institute and spend thousands of dollars to have their body you know, chemicaled up and, or, you know, all their blood work done and everything else that you do, you know, they may read a book, they may do something, but what's three things they could do for their personal health today that would help them tremendously? Now, both of these guys are very big, and this is where we're going to have some fun here.
Yes.
Because I know you're on the other side of this, I think.
Okay.
In a nutritional standpoint, so we'll have some fun. Because I'm not necessarily, the verdict's out for me yet, but the number one thing is he said, the more whole foods, whole fruits and vegetables, and the more plant-based diet you can have, the better it's going to be for your body. And so both of them are vegan. They don't eat any meat. And they say the less meat products you can eat, the better. So for an average listener, if you can only do that 80% of the time, do it 80% of the time. It's kind of their push. And the closer to the source of the food you can get, the more fresh it is, the more nutritious it will be. The more it's frozen, shipped, and all that sort of stuff, it loses nutrition. They cited a couple of things. The second thing was people don't get enough omega-3 fatty acids to take some sort of supplement. I think he recommended like an algae supplement. It sounded totally disgusting, but I'm sure it's like super organic and frou-frou, okay, and it'll cost you, you know, $97. but he was like, fish oil's fine. You know, he went down the list of over-the-counter stuff. And then the last thing he recommended was vitamin D. Most people are very vitamin D deficient,
right,
because they don't get enough fruits and vegetables, which is where you get a lot of your vitamin D, as well as sunlight. We're in offices and everything else, so he recommended vitamin D supplement. I'm like, oh, that's all pretty easy. Well, personal. Ready? So the last 4 months, I felt like absolute garbage on a very personal level. Nothing necessarily specific, just felt terrible. I went to the doctor, had some blood work. He was concerned because my dad died as a diabetic at 60. So he's like, well, he's like, your blood sugar's fine. You're not necessarily in that realm, but I'm concerned here because of this and this. And so he was like, I want you to start on fish oil. So this was before I got on this. So I had been starting on the fish oil. I'm like, okay. But I was having some, I just wasn't feeling good. I was having a lot of headaches. I was just not well. And not like where like, oh, I need to stay home, or, and I didn't have the Rona or anything like that. Okay. I just was off. You could just feel my body was off. And so I listened to that podcast Monday. I started reading the book, I think, Sunday night. So this all kind of collided. I had had 3 months of blood work done, put me on some medication, and it jacked my stomach up. And when I say jacked my stomach up, it was not nice, and I'll be PG
for the people on the air.
It was just not fun. And I called him about 4 or 5 days later, and I'm like, I can't do this. Like, this is not – this can't possibly be right, healthy. He made some adjustments, and he said, we'll try this and this, and then come back in 3 months. And in the midst of all of that, feeling like absolute poo-poo because of side effects and some other stuff, I was like, forget this. I was like, I just listen to this. Like, what the heck do I have to lose? So Monday I get up. I didn't say anything to my wife. Because sometimes, you know, you kind of do that, or you put it out on Facebook. Like, I'm going to, you know, eat da-da-da, and it lasts a week. And so I kind of even hesitated even sharing this portion for today. So I arrive Monday, and I'm like, I'm going to eat as plant-based as I can. I'm going to take this and take that, and I'm not going to – I'm just going to drink water today. So I eat, I don't know, plums and a banana and, you know, different stuff like that. The only meat I had all day was I had ahi tuna on my kale salad from Core Life. Core Life has become kind of my go-to spot.
Right.
And I had coconut curry, like, broth, chicken broth. Oh, my goodness. It was very, very good. So anyway, so I did that for Monday. And I got to Monday night, and I was like, now, whether this was mental or physical yet, probably
– A little both. Yeah. I'll take
it. So at the end of the day, I'm like, wow, I actually feel pretty good. And I was a little hungry, but I felt pretty good. So we go to bed that night. I get up the next morning, and I had gotten on the scale, I don't know, 2 or 3 days, maybe 2 days before. And I got on the scale that next day, and I was down like 4 or 5 pounds. I was like, whoa. I was like, 1 day, 4 or 5 pounds, like – just, I mean, I didn't eat any bread. I didn't eat any, like, any of the other stuff, but it was all whole fruits and vegetables pretty much, and a little bit of tuna, and I think I had some cashews or almonds or something. And so then I was like, oh, I feel pretty good. Scale moved pretty good. I wasn't doing it for the scale, but I actually feel pretty good. So I do it a second day. And then finally, like, I'm going to tell my wife, like, I actually feel really, really good. Like, I feel myself being a little more clear, stuff like that. And so then day two goes by, day three goes by, today's day four, and I'm like, I actually feel insanely good, like really, really good. Today was the first day I had, I tried at Core Life. They had tacos that they're trying to push, and I tried one, and that was my first bread in 3 or 4 days. And it wasn't necessarily a bad thing, but it was just, I was like, yeah, I'll try the taco instead of another salad bowl or grain bowl or whatever. And so I came to the spot where I'm like, wow, 4 days, I feel really good. We should be taking care of ourselves. We talk about taking care of our families. You and I have talked about making good decisions, delegating, leadership, all this stuff. But at the end of the day, those decisions are really difficult to make if you're not taking care of yourself on a very physical level. And that's been quite a journey for me, but I know you've had a journey as well. So yes. I want you to share your personal side of this and your journey, because you've lost some weight and you found a real health spot with something a little bit different than what I just shared.
Right?
So share your side of it, and then let's talk about the similarities and how maybe some of our listeners can take the next step of health for themselves.
Mine started with immune system, where I didn't like being sick, and so I wanted to learn about the body enough to be able to defend against it, like sort of in a natural way. I was so my first instinct was to take a bunch of supplements. And then I started getting mad because I knew everything I was taking in a supplement was available somewhere in nature.
Yeah, yeah.
And I knew that I was just eating the wrong thing, and I just knew that everything I was doing was terrible. And so that my progress was to just learn about the natural body processes as I possibly can and see if I can use as many of those as I possibly can. So if I didn't want to get sick, build up my immune system. If I wanted proper digestion, build up my, you know, intestines and the biome in your stomach and small intestine. And so just going through that, down that rabbit hole, I learned, you know, I'll kind of cite some of the stuff you were talking about, you know, listening to nutritionists, and they will say it went in comparison of what most people are doing right now. If you can go plant-based or you can go no red meat, that's really good for you. Right. Yeah. But the thing about it is, if we treat these diets like they're more religion than they are diet, you go really bad really quick, because none of this stuff is good, bad. It's not like healthy and villain.
Yeah.
Right. You have to sample the parts of it that work for you and where you're currently at. So you have to take where you're at and plot where you're going, not where your friend is going or what you saw on TV or whatever, where it really works for you. And I'll give you, for instance, so like, you know, for a while I went through a whole week of just doing all plant-based, and I wanted to learn, like, okay, well, you can get this from a plant, you can get this from a plant. And then I got to the protein part, and I had a problem with the protein part, because what was happening is all the protein sources had a ton of estrogen.
Yep.
Right. And so I was thinking, okay, well, that part's good, but this part I'm not down with, right? Because I'm taking chemical shifts in my body, and what's that going to affect in other portions? So, you know, yes, cutting out red meat and eating more, you know, fish and the high protein, getting inflammation. I think that was the fifth one you were thinking about, like inflammation was one of them.
I have to look.
And then, you know, so I went through and I said, okay, well, what's – like, for instance, we were taught that that cholesterol is terrible. And then when I learned what cholesterol does, I'm like, it's not terrible. It's only terrible if you do it and don't know anything about it. You need it. It's a transportation vehicle. You can't deliver nutrition to the other parts of the cell without cholesterol in there. But if you're inflamed and you have a terrible diet, it's not going to do what it's supposed to do.
Correct.
And you're going to die really fast.
Yep. No, spot on. So how much – I know you lost weight. And what did you do to lose weight? And what was that process like for you? And how has it brought health to you?
I cut glucose completely out of my system, and I was one that I didn't eat a bunch of sweets, but I drank a whole lot of like iced tea that had sugar in it. And no matter where I went, I was eating some kind of glucose. And then so I cut carbohydrates out, and you know, went through that deal, and I learned a lot about through that thing, like, you know, your stomach. You know, we're drinking water, and I was always drinking water right before a meal, and I was basing out the acids in my stomach, and I wasn't able to digest anything, and that. So I was doing everything wrong, and so is everybody else. The beautiful thing is the body figures out a way to do it in spite of doing absolutely ever wrong. So it's like the Rocket, like, I know you put Jell-O in me, but I'm going to still get you to space, you know?
So you started out, and then how much weight did you lose? Because you went on a full ketogenic diet for the most part. And then now you kind of experiment, and you'll have weeks where you fast. And I know you'll have times where, hey, I'm going on vacation, we're going in on some carbohydrates.
Right, right.
And then you'll
come
back off.
But for the proper things, like, so, and answer your question, I think it was like 160 pounds, and I made it down to like 120 pounds. And my good weight is around 130, 125. I feel at my best. Because I was a wrestler at 103. So being 160 at 103, it was like two of me, right?
Yeah.
It's, when I do... I'll give you, for instance, like I broke like a fracture in my arm the other day lifting something.
Yeah, right? I saw your post.
Yeah, and so it surprised me because I was lifting something. I heard crunch. It's almost like you crinkle styrofoam. I heard that, and then my arm started really hurting. So it's not like broke, or I'm afraid of it. But I know that bone density is, you know, as you get older, you produce less building chemicals, and you got to do a little bit more. And I'm thinking, when's the last time you took some D supplements? When's the last time you did? You know, I was like, I can't remember the last time. And doing keto like I do, you deprive your body of some nutritional elements that are hard to get anyway. And so I was like, okay, well, yeah, I got to get back in order. But that little bone crack was enough to say, you know, get back on your supplements again, or at least start picking some better, more dense, nutritionally dense food.
Yeah. So what supplements do you take?
Or now, should you take? The stuff I find it really hard to get naturally. And, you know, one of the ones, like all the electrolytes are really hard for me to get because they mess with your stomach so bad. Iodine's really hard to get. So eating lots of table salt, if you can help it, because it also helps with hydration. Mm-hmm. And then some of the heavy metal stuff, like the red meat, are really good at delivering some of the metals. Yeah, exactly. And you know, so if I can get some, like I love salmon because it fills a lot of those red meat goals that I need, but it's not as complete as the red meat. So that's why I pick and choose like maybe one red meat a week, and the rest of it's like pork and chicken and fish.
Okay. And so what is a typical day in a keto diet? If somebody's thinking, hey, what Joe's doing seems to work for him, I want to try that. What's a typical day in a keto diet?
All right, so I do intermittent fasting all the time. Okay. So I try to eat within in a 6-hour window, sometimes in a 4-hour window, and sometimes I go 24 hours and just try to – and what happens is that no matter what, your system changes where you get bacteria growth for the stuff that you actually eat. So if you want to hit the reset button and say, okay, well, I've got stuff that like Snickers bars growing inside of me right now. So it's really good at glucose, but it's really terrible at things that I really want, like, you know, the proteins in vegetables. So I'll like really kill everything off by doing a fast. And then when I start introducing things, remember, you got to do it long enough for the bacteria to actually grow after you've done that. So you got to give yourself a good 30 days till your gut biome is actually healthy enough to, you know, to break down. Because you might have thrown a bunch of stuff at it. Yeah. Your body was healthy because it wasn't getting any of the other stuff, but it really hasn't made – so you feeling great, just think of how great you're going to feel
30 days into it, yeah. And I think I do. I said to my wife, I was like, I'm sure a lot of this is mental right now because I made this decision and I'm believing some of this stuff. And so it's causing the reaction in your body because the mind is a powerful tool when you start, you know, picturing those things. So give some examples of stuff you would eat. So during that 6-hour window, do you just eat hamburger meat? Like what do you eat? Because everybody thinks keto. Well, they don't eat any carbs. They don't have, you know, so they just eat burgers and lots of like chicken and, you know, they don't eat anything.
Well, you're playing a game against yourself. And think about it like you're balancing a pull out. Like if you do one thing, it creates something over here and then you got to go do that other thing. So for the most part, the game I play is, I mentioned electrolytes. You know, when I'm in keto, glucose does a real good job of carrying water molecules around, right? And it doesn't do great on the oxygen side. So when you do keto, it reverses that. So you're really good on the oxygen side. So you get this flood of extra oxygen to your brain and you get, you know, healthy in that standpoint. But now you got less water, right? So you end up being dehydrated because of just that chemical shift. So then I got to find salty foods so that I add extra stuff in there so I absorb more things. So once I know that I'm properly hydrated, then I can move on to the next thing where, like, now I need some fat, right? So I crave fat like it's nobody's business. Now you have
I've seen you put some fat on some of your stuff.
So good fats, like when you get it salmon, you know, your body's craving that. And when I'm deep in keto, salmon to me equals cupcake when you're in glucose mode. Okay. Your body just starts thirsting for it. So I try to figure out, like, when I have these temptations, whether or not that's really what I need, or it's like the fat talking, you know, that I really want to go there for that. But it's a whole lot of math, and it's kind of boring. Like I'm when I'm chasing a food, it's because I'm chasing what I know I should need. And, you know, I feel like I'm negligent right now having skipped vitamin C. Like, when's the last time I ate a fruit or something? Because I've been in keto for so long. I was just out of keto. Why didn't I load up on the vitamin C? And that's what that's end up what's happening.
Gotcha. Yeah, I found I think with the little bit of reading I've done and the way that seeing this, because I've done other diets. I did I've told you this. I did Optavia and I lost 70 pounds on that. My mom still does Optavia and has coached for a number of years, and she's now I guess year three or four, and she's down close to 100 pounds. She's kept off, which has been really, really good for her. And then she found a system that works, and she's able to do it, and it was able to be healthy. And I know other people that have done that. Talk about the difference. So in self-care, right, everybody, like, in May is like, oh, I got to hurry up and get my summer body. You know, like, let me, you know, not eat anything, go to the gym. And we try and cram in April, May, so that June, July, we don't feel bad out by the pool. Talked about the difference between a diet and a lifestyle. I know people have heard this before, but so much of what you do is about hacking Joe.
Yes.
And figuring out what's going to cause me to live best and longest, and how can I do that for my body. And what's right for Joe's body may not be right for Doug's body. Some of the principles may be transferable, but at the end of the day, you're trying to figure out you. So yes. Talk about the difference between that when you approach it, diet versus lifestyle.
So when I wake up in the morning, I walk up to my vision board, and the first thing that I say to myself is that I love my body, right? That I say those words out loud. And then after I say those words, I think about, like, what about my body? So I stay true to myself. What don't I like? What could be better? You know, am I okay with how I'm running these days? So I go up a flight of stairs and I'm winded. Do I need to work on my breathing? Have I eaten garbage or whatever? And I go back through the things that I might be not doing to not stay true to that deal. And that's the part, you know, that I fix. And sometimes it is literally what I'm eating, but it's never like I'm on this diet and it's a perpetual thing. I go through these phases of whatever I need to be working on. That's where I'm at. You would probably, I mean, keto ends up being sort of the standard, but it's not a silver bullet. I mean, there's not everybody that I'd recommend even doing it unless you had the disciplines to follow through all the other stuff that's going to then be required from you.
Yeah. And so I know for me, when you go to make big changes, or when I'm coaching somebody at church through, hey, we're going to make this huge change in my life, it's always important to take small steps in the beginning. Like, you can't, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. The Titanic didn't turn on a dime. Like, some people you've had your eating habits for 30 years or 40 years.
And you don't even know why you do half of them, probably.
And some of it was, well, grandma did that, or, you know, that's what my parents did. I often make the joke that growing up, a balanced meal in my house was hot dogs, baked beans, macaroni and cheese, and soda. I mean, that's like, you got your three food groups, but when you look at it, it was a ton of sugar, it was a ton of carbohydrates, it was a ton of stuff, and it set the tone. And we always had dessert. I mean, you always had, you know, that gallon tub of ice cream from Sam's Club or wherever.
Right.
And so, but you grow up like that, and that's normal, because, you know, what 9-year-old kid or 7-year-old kid is thinking differently. And then you become an adult and you realize, like, all right, I have some habits I have to switch. And so then we're going to get into a little bit of the psychology side of this. So it doesn't necessarily matter what you do. You have to hack yourself, whether that is, hey, I'm going to go plant-based, or I'm going to go keto, or, you know, I'm going to figure out the Mediterranean, whatever it is.
But if you're trying to figure out yourself, that's the key.
Exactly.
I mean, information. So if your body says the next thing you need to do is get more rest, and you don't feel, you know, and that feels like where you're going to be most healthy, that's where you need to start. I mean, that biofeedback is everything. I've got people that get into a couple days into a fast and our body's screaming at you to eat, and they're ignoring it like this is some kind of punishment they're pursuing, you know? And I'm like, no, go eat. Go eat.
Themselves.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, interesting. So what sort of things can people do? What experiments can they do to begin to learn how their body's going to respond to certain things? So what are some of the experiments you did when you were kind of trying to discover that? Did you just deprive yourself of certain macronutrients? Did you try certain, hey, I'm going to do this for 3 days? Or was it a week? Did it have to go a month? What did that look like, some of your experiments early on as you were trying to hack your body?
And it was, if I'd go learn about glucose, then I would just experiment all over the place with glucose. And it would work like a flow chart, because that got me into this and that got me into this. And by the time that I'm looking at it, I had understood processes. I didn't even know what that organ did when, you know, when I began. So, you know, like I'll go be looking into glucose storage in the liver. And then when I'm over there looking at glucose, they're talking about how, you know, liver damage is caused by people taking, you know, Tylenol and ibuprofen. Liver damage caused by people trying to take so much pain medication that they end up damaging the liver. And I'm thinking, I didn't realize that. People are poisoning themselves by treating the headache. And I was like, so where's the headaches coming from? And then it just kept going down and down. And I'm like, we got it all goofed up.
Yeah, yeah. So yours started with research. So
yes,
Everybody could sit out there and go, well, I have headaches, or I have this problem, or I'm sore all the time, I'm tired all the time. And you could start figuring out, all right, why does the body do those things?
Exactly.
And then you start experimenting with, all right, it seems like I'm eating this, this, and this, and that's causing this, or I need to get some more exercise. My pituitary gland isn't all that active, and that's going to slow down the secretion of certain hormones, so I guess I need to start walking every day, or whatever it might be. So that kind of started you on the base of just the research side of things. And then what were some of the practical, the second phase to that was, all right, I have this problem. I think this is the solution since I've done the research. And then you just went for it?
Well, I figured out why I had the problem in the first place. And you walk over to the pantry because you're, you know, why, you know? And then like right now, I think sometimes like I'm walking up the pantry and it's filled top to bottom and there's nothing that I want in there. And I'm thinking if I were
all
not me.
The time. Satan lives in there.
And so I'm thinking, like, what could I put in this pantry that if I took – I just went into my house and I took everything that I really don't want to be eating and I just got rid of it and just vowed not to replace that and just put everything – I'm free to grace. So all I'm going to put in there is stuff that I want to be eating and then I could just eat whatever I want, phase one, right? So there's no restrictions. I can eat everything. It's just I can't run down to the convenience store and grab something off the shelf in order to satisfy that. So I got to learn how to eat whatever's in there rather than feed the temptations.
Okay. Now, how do you do that with – Debbie and Ryan, because they don't necessarily, because I've been to your house, I've watched them eat mac and cheese and other stuff that you won't touch. How do you navigate that with, I don't know, it's kind of
tough.
The
Joe shelf, of course. I mean, the only thing I can eat on my shelf.
You have your own personal
shelf. Yeah, right, okay. Right. But again, this is a psychological game, so you get to kind of frame this however you want. If you want to create a place that you're not allowed to go to and you can stay true to it, go for it. That was easy for me.
Well, so how do you handle that here in the office or at work? So, for instance, the other night we had guys installing stuff at the church. It was 10-something at night. They were going to be there till 2 in the morning. They ordered donuts and coffee from Dunkin' Donuts. It was 10. I hadn't eaten since about 6. I was feeling kind of hungry. Right,
that's where I would be the why I fall to temptation, because there's going to be a situation where you're in a social event and it's available and you want to be social and here's what I'm going to do. But you think about that. What superpower are you going to need to resist that temptation at
the
time?
I just went to my office.
So, well, that's good. That's good. And I knew that I had to develop the method of staying healthy while fasting so that if I ever need to invoke the fasting button, right, if I'm around something I don't want to eat, I hit that button and I'm like, oh, I'm fasting right now. And it was easier for me to push through.
Interesting. Yeah, because it's tough in that sense. A lot of people start into, hey, I'm going to eat a little healthier. I'm going to eat a little better. And they show up at the office and they're like, it's Bob's birthday. And there's chocolate cake. We're like, wow, wouldn't want free chocolate cake to go to waste. You know what I mean? It's so goofy, but that's where our brains go. Or, you know, somebody's like, oh, we're going to order lunch for everybody. Well, where are we ordering from? We're getting burgers or we're getting whatever. And like, wow, one burger's not going to hurt me. And you justify it and then you jump into it. Or Thanksgiving's coming up, or Christmas coming up.
Well, there was a silly one for me. Well, one of my favorite things about keto was you didn't get bit by mosquitoes. So if I really like the fact,
did you guys hear that? He said with keto, you don't get bit by mosquitoes. You need to explain that.
So since I don't like mosquitoes at all, right? If I get the temptation to do something that adds too much glucose to my blood, then I say, oh, you want to go get by mosquitoes? And I'm like, no. And that talks me out of that whole deal.
So I understand this. Mosquitoes.
Mosquitoes.
Only bite people that have glucose in their blood?
Well, I can't make that claim. I can say that when I'm in keto, everybody gets bit and I
but
don't.
You.
Yes. Now, I researched it and find out if there's any cause to it. And it's an anomaly that people are noticing, right? And so theoretically, mosquitoes are attracted to carbon dioxide. Right, the carbon dioxide tells them the glucose and what's in yours with when you're on ketos, not a good smelling thing at all. Right, so you are masked that you've got blood at all, and if they do smell it, it's not something that they want to eat. And you know,
so it's more your exhale, what you're exhaling, than necessarily glucose in the blood.
Yeah.
Interesting. So go ahead. Sorry, I cut you off. To
no, I didn't even know what I was going.
We got so excited to explain this.
But so anyway, so if you can. If you can create the reason that you can blow through that temptation, you're going to say, well, I am going to be in a social event where I got to do a business deal. And he's like, you want a glass of wine? And I'm going to want to say, of course I do want that. Then I'm like, mosquitoes, do you want it?
So it's funny. So when they came over with the donuts or whatever, it wasn't that big a deal. I was hungry, but I was like, in my head, I remember seeing the Blue Zone episode. And I'm like, I kind of want to live to 100. And I did this thing in my head, and I was like, I'm just going to go to my office so that I don't have to look at that, because otherwise I'm going to eat a donut. And Anyway, so I went to this spot and I thought about this. So there's another book that Sam and I really, really loved. We used with our kids called Dr. Denmark Said It. And it's about a pediatrician who was a pediatrician for 75 years. She retired at 102. She passed away at 114. And they tell the story about her that at her 105th or 106th birthday, they took her out to dinner. They were all excited to, you know, celebrate her. And they went to very fancy. The head chef came out and said, "Wow, I've never served somebody of your age. You know, congratulations." And the pastry chef comes out and says, "Listen, I made you this decadent, wonderful piece of chocolate cake," and, you know, brings it over to her. And she says, "I really appreciate that. You know, I'm going to let somebody else." He says, "Oh, you won't even take a bite?" And she goes, "I haven't had sugar in 75 years, and I'm not going to start now."
Boom.
Love it. It was like, and I remember reading that and thinking to myself, like, wow, like, and obviously she had sugar in fruits and vegetables and stuff like that, but she was saying in terms of like that, you know, processed sugar. And then when I was watching the Down to Earth with Zac Efron, they were talking about, and they had these biochemists talking about these centenarians, these 100-year-old people. And they said, look, they said everything in moderation. So like these guys will eat pasta, but it's handmade and homemade here. They're grounding the flour and making the noodles.
Right.
It's not processed at some factory. But he said, you know, 10 grams of sugar in a day, table sugar, is fine. 100 grams isn't. And he was saying, like, you know, so it's about picking and choosing. And as he's saying that, I was in the middle of eating a Pop-Tart, and I looked down at the wrapper, and it was literally 30 grams of sugar probably per Pop-Tart.
Yeah,
and I was,
you had my weekly allowance in one meal.
I literally was like, I looked at my wife, and I was like, I can't believe this is 6 days worth of sugar,
exactly,
according to this
right.
biochemist. And all of that started those wheels turning. How deadly is sugar?
Terrible. Give us the
rundown. I know
so,
you hate it. So.
Oh, yeah. And because it's the number one thing that causes inflammation, cell inflammation, right? Everything that's attributed to any kind of disease you can think of, either heart disease or, you know, cancers, it all comes from the inflammation of glucose. And, you know, when you have high cholesterol, the reason high cholesterol kills people is because your cells in your heart are inflamed. If you can get inflammation to go down, your body can weather a lot more stuff than you're throwing at it right now. So you can either always be in an inflamed state, and then it doesn't take a lot to throw you off your game. So talking about your centurions, those people that, you know, you want to live there, let me give you the secret. And I learned this through a couple of people. So here's the absolute gospel.
Fountain of youth. Let's
the
do
fountain
it.
Of youth. You ready? So
you're about to hear it here.
If you watch people that are very active, and then they decide to like slow down, they get a walker, they go in a wheelchair, they go in a respirator. When you assist the body in a function that it is capable of doing itself, it gives up. It forgets how to do that function. And so the things that we eat, actually, like, for instance, our body's really good at taking a fruit down and then digesting it down to glucose, which you need. So even if you didn't do keto, let's just say you do. Now, would your body prefer to have straight sugar, the most refined version of sugar, so it doesn't have to do anything with it, or something that has to run it through 19 processes in order to get?
Fiber and everything else.
Okay. Yeah. So if we give it straight sugar, that it doesn't have to do anything. What happened? Exactly.
Yeah.
So now
it doesn't need the insulin anymore. Doesn't
exactly.
Need anymore.
Right. So if you feed the animals, they don't know how to feed themselves. So if you look at an organ, figure out what it's supposed to do and give it the hardest version of that. Don't make it easy on it. Make it really work for whatever, and the body will do what it's designed to do, and you'll live to be 100 because you won't use yourself up every time. Like if your body's immune system is fighting the food that you eat, right? Mm. How much your immune system's wasted on stuff that's really not going to injure you or shouldn't be injuring you.
Interesting.
You just set this one up on the tee for me, didn't you?
This is good today. I want to do one more thing before we – so we've done a lot of the nutrition talk, lifestyle talk, exercise. They say 80% of weight loss and health is what you put in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
20% is exercise. I don't know who they are, but that's the stat I've heard.
Right.
How important is exercise? At what level? At what point is it doing more damage to your body than good? Because at a certain level, your joints start to hurt. At certain ages, certain things can't be done. What's something that you do for exercise and encourage others to do?
So, I mean, you've heard this sometime. You're little. You're growing or you're dying, and you got to figure out which way you're on, right?
Okay.
So, if you can figure out and people who go crazy on the exercise front, okay. It's addictive just like anything else.
Yep.
All right. So if you're trying to get 1 inch, you know, faster, stronger, better than you were yesterday, that's probably completely healthy to you because you're not pushing your body to unhealthy regions where you're not doing so much damage that it has trouble, you know, actually repairing itself. Mm. So it you know, I'm not a big exercise freak that way. I don't, you know, people who do triathlons on a regular mm-hmm. basis and really tear up their stuff and they don't really take care of the rehab or the repair, you know, I think they're shortening the life of those joints. I think they're shortening mm-hmm. the life of that kind of stuff. But I think wherever you're at, you are capable of doing more. Your body was designed that way. So I think that, you know, if you're a sedentary person that doesn't do anything, if you go for a walk once a day, that is really good.
Yeah.
And maybe in 5 years from now, you'll be running 5Ks. And then maybe 5 years from there, you'll be running big marathons. But it's a matter of it works for how your body and your composition.
So what do you do for your exercise? What's kind of your goal? Do you ride a bike? Do you walk? Do you run? What do you do?
So I like to be able to do what I want to do when I want to do it. So when I notice that I'm going down, like I'd give maybe 4 months of body repair where I won't run, I won't do anything hardcore, but then I'll go into these 3 month trends of getting my body back to that deal, right? Mm-hmm. Where it is. And I think it's healthier that way because the 3 months of it being able to repair in all the areas that it was makes it so that I could stretch a lot longer when I'm in that 3 months of building up.
Gotcha. Totally makes sense. So regardless of where you find yourself at, move somehow.
Yeah, right. Wherever yeah, and it, but it's not. You don't have to punish yourself and make you mm-hmm. do activity way more than your body can handle.
Yeah, no, totally makes sense. Well, regardless of where you find yourself, do something today to make yourself a little bit healthier. You only get one body. It's been a journey and a struggle for me over the last 25, 30 years.
But you're on your way, man. I believe in you.
Amen. And you're preaching. reversing roles. But in all seriousness, you can do something today that'll affect you tomorrow. I know, you know, just 3 or 4 days ago, I made a couple of choices, and it's felt really good. Joe's continued to make choices and experiment and learn how his body works. Just start down that path. You only get one body, but you want to be there for your grandkids, and you want to be there, not just there. You want to be engaged and healthy and able to do the things that you want to do. You don't want to be limited by those things, and there's so much you can do to affect that. So do something to take care of yourself today.
All right.